Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
My absolute privilege to share God's word this morning on Pentecost Sunday. And who loves Pentecost Sunday? Let's go. Who loves Easter? Who loves Christmas? Who loves your birthday? Isn't that one the best? I feel very special on my birthday. But Pentecost Sunday today, there's a passage of scripture I want to read, and I want to talk about where Jesus has a conversation with his disciples long before Pentecost even happens. In the book of John, chapter 14, he has a conversation with his disciples and he begins to prophesy to them about the coming Holy Spirit. He begins to tell them about the day when the power of heaven would come on them. And this is what he says in John 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commands. And I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper. Somebody say helper. To be with you forever. Aren't you so glad the Holy Spirit never leaves? Aren't you so glad he doesn't come and go based on your performance, based on how well you behaved that week, that when he comes, he remains forever? That's why Jesus said to the disciples, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age, because although physically he might not be here, by his Spirit, he is with all of us. Amen. Whom the world cannot receive, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot receive him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. Verse 21, very important. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father and I will love him and manifest myself to him. I want to talk this morning on the topic having an encounter with God. And my prayer for you is that you wouldn't just hear about having an encounter, that you would personally have an encounter. And maybe when I say those words, have an encounter, something comes alive in you. You're like, man, I'm hungry for more of God. Maybe for you, when I say that words, having an encounter, something comes up in your mind and goes, oh man, what is this all about? I'm not sure if that's for me. Maybe for you, comfort or discomfort arises. I pray no matter what the internal response is at that word encounter, it wouldn't be a theology battle, that you would experience Jesus in a greater way today. The Pentecost Sunday, the first Pentecost 2,000 years ago, made Jesus so real in that upper room. And I believe today God wants to do another Pentecost in this place and make Jesus so real to every single person. And so, Father, we thank you. Let Jesus be magnetized. And everybody said, amen, amen. Can we thank the team as well? Thanks so much, Sean, everybody else included as well. Having an encounter with God. You know, that word encounter, or sorry, in this passage it says manifest. Someone say manifest. That word literally means to show, it means to reveal, it means to put on display. And the first time it's ever used in the Gospels is when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible records that righteous people in the local cemeteries actually rose from the dead and they went into the city and they showed themselves, they manifested themselves to people there. How many of you know it's a very different experience hearing about someone who was raised from the dead and meeting them face to face? See, I want to submit to you today, Jesus does not just want you to hear about people that have seen him. He wants you to have your own face-to-face encounter. Jesus wants you to have your own experience. In fact, verse 21 says that whoever, somebody say whoever. Turn to your neighbor, say that means me. Turn to your other neighbor, your second choice, who you just rejected, and say that means you. Whoever is whoever, I love the Bible because it doesn't say that the apostles will have a manifestation. It doesn't say that those called to ministry or those that are super spiritual, it says whoever. I want to tell you this morning, no matter what condition you've come to church today, whoever means you, whoever means you, you are included. It might be your first time in God's house this morning. You might have brought yourself here and you might feel uncomfortable because it's the first time in church in months or maybe years. I want to encourage you today. The promise of Jesus is for you. God wants you to have an encounter with him. It's not for the perfect people. It's not for the far people or the close people. It's for all people. Whoever believes in Jesus and loves him, Jesus will personally come and manifest, show, encounter himself to you. And I know for me, What changed my life so significantly was as a young man, I had an encounter with God. And I think if you've experienced God's presence before, you would remember it because those moments mark us. See, I grew up in a Christian family. I was blessed with parents that loved God and believed the Bible and taught me about Jesus. And I would talk to Jesus at night. I would pray. But it felt more like God was far away somewhere. And I was just going through my life until one day I was forced to go to a church service that I didn't want to be at. And I sat there with my arms folded, frustrated that I was even in the room. And that night changed my life forever. Because in this small town called Snell's Beach in New Zealand, as an 11-year-old, I was in this church that my mum forced me to go to on a Friday night. Praise God for the mums that force their kids to go to church. Can you say amen? And this preacher gets up to share, and you know, you might have even heard me share this story before, but I just want to share it again because it was so significant in my life. He begins to talk about Jesus, and about 5 minutes into a sermon, he just stops the service and says, "Put your hand up if you believe in Jesus." And I said, "Yeah, that's me. I believe in Jesus." Then he got everyone who already believed in Jesus to stand up and come to the front for prayer. So we're standing up the front. There's about 30 of us in this tiny little church. And I'll never forget him just waiting, tapping his foot, looking around. I'm thinking, what is this guy thinking? What's going on in his mind? And he then says these words, "There was someone that you were meant to put up your hand and you didn't. We're going to wait for you." And in my head, I'm like, oh, he's one of those psychics from TV. I've seen this before. And then we're waiting awkwardly. And then finally, this guy gets up from the back row. His name was Josh, and it probably still is Josh, praise God. And he gets up and starts walking to the front. I remember looking at him and being like, yeah, he should be up the front. I know him. He should be a Christian. And as he comes forward, the man on the stage goes, "Bring him here," places his hand lightly on his head, and Josh gets knocked unconscious and falls to the floor and lies there lifeless. I'm thinking he's just died. I've never seen this before. I didn't grow up with God TV on in my home. I didn't see Pastor Benny Hinn ministering on Sunday morning. This is all brand new and I'm freaking out. I'm like, oh my gosh, we're all about to die right now. This is crazy. And then I'll never forget the next words out of the preacher's mouth were, "If that's the first time you've seen that, you don't need to be scared. That's just the power of God. Come on, we're going to pray." And so I was like, okay. And he said, "Why don't you lift your hands?" And so I said, "Whatever you want." So my hands are lifted high. And I'll never forget him just lightly, gently placing his hand on my head. So, you know, some people think people get pushed over and they get forced. And they were, I didn't feel that anyway. I felt the hand lightly come. But then what happened is this, best way I can describe it, this lightning bolt of electricity and power struck through my body. It was so overwhelming. It was so intense. It didn't just knock me over. It knocked me out. And then I woke up on the floor and I didn't need someone to explain it to me. I didn't need someone to demystify it. I knew that I knew that I knew in my soul that I encountered Jesus. I knew it wasn't a weird. It wasn't a scary. It wasn't an abnormal. It was God. It was God of heaven and earth. God, the creator of the universe. He intervened in my life. He revealed himself. And in that moment, for about 2 hours on the floor, I just began to cry. I began to weep as the presence of God wave after wave just swept over me. And it was like, I remember giving the youth pastor a hug and I pulled away from his shirt and I could see my face in his shirt from all the snot and from all the tears in my eyes. I got so marked by God. I got so touched by God. And to be honest, my life has never quite been the same. Because there is something about an encounter that leaves you different to before. It's impossible to meet with God and go back to the way things used to be. See, I knew about God. I had the Bible. I had theology. I even had prayer. I had a great family who loved God. I had Christians around me. But there was something about my own experience. There was something about my own encounter. There was something about the own manifestation of Jesus to me that fundamentally changed my life. And I want to submit to you today, Nations Church, God doesn't just want you to hear about other people's encounters. He doesn't just want you to be a part of a good Christian community. He doesn't just want you to have the Bible. These things are good. I'm not knocking it. But the Bible says that Jesus wants to manifest himself. He wants to reveal himself. He wants to encounter you today. And maybe for the first time, maybe for the thousandth time, I don't know. There are people, there are generals of the faith in this room that you've traversed journeys with God. You've been obedient in difficult seasons and you follow God. We got some seasoned saints in the room today. I want to encourage you, if you've been on the journey with Jesus, can I just encourage you as a young friend this morning that there's a fresh encounter for you still, that if you're here, if you're alive today, God's not done with you. There is something more to be encountered today. And Pentecost Sunday is where we not only remember the work of the Holy Spirit, but we reposition ourselves to experience the Holy Spirit. You know, on the first Pentecost, Acts 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there was a sound like the blowing of a violent wind, and it came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. What's interesting is on the day of Pentecost, it wasn't a new theology. It wasn't an extra bit of knowledge. It wasn't an extra teaching. It was an encounter with God that launched the church. It was so important that Jesus said, wait till the Holy Spirit comes before you go. And I just believe today it's so important that we get back to this thing and we hold the Word of God above our experience. It's so important we're planted in the local church, but including in all of these things, it's so important we have an encounter with God. It's so important we don't just hear about others, we experience God for ourselves. Can you say amen this morning? And so I want to share in the time we have this today, three keys that will position us for an encounter with God. And my prayer is that as I share these, that hunger would arise in your heart, that thirst would arise in your heart. You were created to encounter God. But my real prayer is that it wouldn't just be nice information, it would really lead you to have your own experience. And we're going to open the altars at the end of the service. We're going to pray for people. And maybe you're the type of person that doesn't normally come to the front for prayer. Can I encourage you, today's the day. It's a great decision to get out of your seat and come forward. You don't know what God can do in one moment of prayer. You don't know what one encounter with God's Spirit can do for your family, can do for your business, can do for your life. And so I want to share three keys to encountering God today. Is that all right? Point number one, if you're taking notes, is simply this. A heart that's right with God. Leviticus 14, verse number 24. The priest will take the lamb for the guilt offering along with the olive oil and lift them up as a special offering to the Lord. Then the priest will slaughter the lamb for the guilt offering. He will take some of the blood and apply it to the lobe of the right ear, the thumb of the right hand, and the big toe of the right foot of the person being purified. The priest will also, someone say also, pour some of the olive oil into the palm of his own left hand. He will dip his right finger into the oil in his palm and sprinkle some of it seven times before the Lord. The priest will then apply some of the oil in the palm over the blood from the guilt offering that is on the lobe of the right ear, the thumb of the right hand, and the big toe of the right foot of the person being purified. Why, oh why, are we reading about Leviticus on Pentecost? Some of us haven't even read Leviticus, let alone do it on Pentecost. Why are we... What's significant about the instructions to purify someone from a skin disease? Well, I want to submit to you today that the whole Bible is about Jesus. In fact, the Bible says in Hebrews 10, verse number 1, the law is a shadow of the good things to come, not the realities themselves. See, the law, Leviticus, is pointing to a greater reality called Jesus. That's why Jesus said, you search the scriptures, you think they give you life. The scriptures point to me. The whole Bible, it's not just Matthew on, it's the whole Bible, Genesis to Revelation, is pointing to the death, the resurrection, and return of Jesus Christ. That's why we have stories like Joseph, loved by his father, betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery, goes into a pit, exalted to the head of the nations, given a Gentile wife. Why? Because Joseph is an image of Jesus. Loved by his father, betrayed by his brothers, sold into the pit of hell, raised and exalted to all nations, given a Gentile bride. That's the church, that's you and I, to be a prophecy of the work of Christ. That's why Noah built and constructed a wooden ark, and in that wooden ark was the life of the world, and it preserved through destruction, and on the other side, that created new life, that created a new world, and it wasn't to do with anyone's obedience except Noah's obedience. To prophesy of the day that you and I would stand before God and not be judged by our good works, but by our relationship with Jesus Christ, that we would get a new life. He would make all things new. And even the story of Noah, if you know it, it says
to find out whether the land was ready, what did they do? They cast out a dove to see if there was a place to land. And the dove came back with no branch in its mouth because there was no land. The world was not yet clean. But finally, as the earth arose above the cleansing, the dove had a place to land. Could it be, friend, that's a prophecy of our Jesus cleansing us through His blood so that the Spirit of God, the dove of heaven, would have a place to land on the earth? And it's not about performance, it's about the cleansing work of Jesus in our lives. And then we see in Leviticus, there's this story, and it talks about a lamb for a guilt offering and oil. And I want to submit to you today, as much as this was a system in that time, it was a prophecy for our time. Talking about our Passover lamb, Christ Jesus who died, and the oil of the Holy Spirit who is available to all who believe. But what challenges me is the Bible says in verse 28 that the priest will then apply some of the oil in his palm over the blood. I want to submit to you today that the oil only goes where the blood first is. That if we want to have the Spirit of God in our life, we want to have an encounter with God, the most important first step is to get your heart right with God. The most important step is to get the blood of Jesus in your life. It's to repent of your sin. It's to even say, God, search me. Show me if there's any sin in my life. Point out anything in me that offends you and allow His blood to cleanse you. Why? Because it makes a landing space for the oil of heaven to come. That's why in the day of Pentecost, Peter says in Acts 2 verse 37, the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. What do we do? Verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If we want the gift of the Holy Spirit in our life, we want His manifest presence in our world, step number one, we got to get our hearts right. And the danger of a sermon like this is we could hear it and think this is a message for the non-believer. And say, oh yeah, yeah, I got my heart right when I gave my life to Jesus 20 years ago. Can I encourage you, friend, that yes, you might be in right standing with God, but sin can still stain your conscience. Sin can still stain your heart. You can be a believer and have a heart that's not right. That's why Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8 offered money for the spirit. And the Bible says that Peter responded in verse 20, may your money be destroyed with you for thinking God's gift can be bought. You can have no part in this, for your heart is not right with God. It wasn't that he was in the wrong place. It was that he had the wrong heart. But I've got good news, friend. No matter what the most heinous sins are that you're struggling with or the littlest sins that you dismiss, the blood of Jesus Christ still works. It still has power to cleanse. It still has power to forgive. There's no cross 2.0. What do I mean by that? It means when you stuff up, even as a Christian, it's not about now trying to fix yourself. No, it's the same cross that saved you 20 years ago, still has the power to save you today. It's the same blood that has the power to wash you. The blood of Jesus doesn't just forgive you, it cleanses you. That's why Hebrews says, won't the blood of Christ cleanse our consciences from dead works? You can have a clean conscience today. You can walk out of church today with your head held high. You can walk out of church with shame broken off your life. Why? Because it's not about your good deeds. It's about the precious blood of Jesus Christ, our Passover lamb who hung on that cross, who laid in that tomb, who got up from the dead. His blood still has authority over sin. And so my prayer for you today, as I'm speaking, maybe you're reminded of that argument you had with your wife last night. Maybe you're reminded of the way you spoke to your kids that wasn't Christ-like. Maybe you're reminded of that big thing that hasn't actually come to the light yet. No matter what it is, I want to encourage you, the blood of Jesus still works. And by turning and confessing that to the Lord, you can access that blood and you can have a heart that's right with God. Why? Because the oil only goes where the blood has first gone. That's why one of the best prayers we can pray is Psalm 139. Search me, God, know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Something about the heart says, God, I think I'm okay, but you just search me. You tell me if there's something you don't like. It's not about going on a witch hunt with yourself for what's wrong with you. It's about presenting yourself to God and allowing the kindness of the Lord to draw you to repentance. Can you say amen? Point number one, a heart that's right with God. Point number two, how to have an encounter with God. Number two is a point of contact. A point of contact. It's so important that we don't just have a heart that's right, but we come into contact with God's anointing and God's presence. Because it's actually at the point of contact that encounter happens. It's at the point of contact that impartation happens. See, Acts chapter 8, verse number 14, the apostles in Jerusalem had heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, so they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Verse 16, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them, they had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, give me also this ability so that everyone whom I lay my hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. I want you to think about the church in Samaria. They had the blood of Jesus in their life. They were right with God, but there was still a need for a contact with God's presence. The apostles heard that they'd received the word. They'd heard that they'd been baptized, that they believed. And so not just praying from where they were, they sent Peter and John to lay hands on them. And what does the Bible say? Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands. I want to encourage you. That's why we open our altars at the end of our service. It's not just because someone wants to put a hand on you to make you feel better. No, no, no. There's something powerful about the laying on of hands. As anointed men and women of God place hands on hungry people, there's an impartation, there's a flow, there's a release, there's an encounter that happens. And sometimes we can miss out in a way by being in the right room but not having contact with God's presence. I remember I was serving at the lighting desk when I did my youth internship many moons ago. Felt like saying moons rather than years. And I remember I was there and there was an altar call going. I didn't know what it was for. I just had that prompt I should go forward. And I thought, no, I better not. I got in my head a little bit. They might judge me because I'm not even meant to be here. I'm just the lighting guy today. And I really felt the Holy Spirit prompt me. He said, go now or you're going to miss it. So I said, okay. So I got up out of my seat. I walked up to the front. The moment I got to the front, this woman of God walked over. She just placed hands on my head straight away and began to pray over my life. And as she began to pray, I began to encounter the presence of God. And then this was as a 16-year-old. This is the first time I felt anyone ever prayed this over me. She said these words, and God, I thank you. You're calling him to preach the gospel. And when she said those words, it's like the presence of God hit me and I fell to the floor. And God marked me and he solidified in my own heart a part of the calling of God on my life. And what challenges me is it didn't happen at the lighting desk, it happened at the point of contact. Because there's something powerful about the laying on of hands. There's something powerful about coming into contact with the anointing. There's something powerful about not just being hungry, but being so hungry we allow it to form our behavior and push into God. I love the woman with the issue of blood. She wasn't just hungry for God and said, well, God can touch me if she wants. She made her way through the crowd. The Bible says she thought to herself, I can just touch his robe, I'll be healed. Can I encourage us how we approach altar calls, how we approach those times? It really matters. The thoughts we have, oh, let's see what God will do here. Let's see what this young buck has to say. Or maybe it's the thought of, God, I'm hungry for whatever you want to do. I'm open. I want to get a hold of you. As we come with the right expectation, as we come into a point of contact, there is a release. There is an encounter. There is something that happens in your life. I want to encourage you. God wants you to have encounters with him. But a key function he uses is the anointing that is on people and places. And it's humility to recognize where God is moving and place yourself there. God is everywhere. He's omnipresent, but his manifest presence requires stewardship. And there are men and women of God who have stewarded it behind the scenes. And you can come into contact and they can pray and you can become the beneficiary of their relationship. There are churches and environments that have stewarded God's presence, that have worshiped and exalted. And you come into that room, you can feel right from the first song, man, God's in this place. What is that? It's not hype. It's not just like the smoke machine. It's the presence of God. The Bible says in Psalm 22, verse 3, that he inhabiteth the praises of his people in the King James Version. That word inhabit means to sit, to remain, to dwell, and to abide. God's manifest presence comes where he is exalted and honored. And so that's why we come together in church. That's why Nations Conference is so important. It's not just a great event to come to if you're free in the holidays. No, no, there's an encounter to be had. There's something to be released in that moment. But our posture of expectation, of hunger, and of thirst actually opens us up or closes us off to what God is wanting to do. Romans 1 verse 11, this is what Paul says. I long to see you so that I may impart some spiritual gift to make you strong. And I'd love to invite the worship team to come join me. Think about this. The Apostle Paul writes to the church in Rome, I want to be with you so that I can impart a gift to you. He's writing a letter to the church, but even the Apostle Paul recognizes there are some things I want you to get that the letter can't give. There are some things that God wants to get into your life that the podcast won't do, that the online service won't do, that the sermon from the other church won't do. There are some things that require contact, that require being in the same room, having the same presence, being in the same atmosphere, having a hand placed upon your shoulder. There's something about the point of contact that opens us up to experiencing God. And maybe for you, you've had a bad experience when maybe someone prayed and they said something that was hurtful, or maybe they were forced. Oh, I'm so sorry. That's not God's heart. Our desire isn't to make anything happen or to treat you like a project. No, it's not people that we want to touch people. It's God we want to touch people. I can place a hand on someone, but I don't know if God's going to touch them. You don't want my hand on you. You want God's hand on you. But there's something about even rooms like today where it's Pentecost Sunday and we're worshiping the Lord. There's an anointing in this place, which means there's an encounter to be had. Point number one, a heart that's right. Number two, a point of contact. And number three, a yielded response. I really felt in preparation for this day that this would be one of the biggest keys that the Lord wanted to highlight. Because it's one thing to say I'm hungry for God. It's another thing to say I'm so hungry, I'm willing to let Him do whatever He wants. So it's like being in the desert and saying, man, I'm so thirsty. Oh man, I'd do anything for a drink of water. And someone comes and, oh sweet, I've got some brand new bottled of plastic San Pellegrino water. Here you go. And you go, oh, sorry. Me and my family, we don't do plastic. We're more glass bottle people. I would argue you're not really that thirsty. Because if you were, you wouldn't care about the conduit. How often do we come to God with that same heart? Oh yeah, God, I want your presence, but I want him to pray for me. I want your presence, God, but keep her away from me. Or maybe it's not the person, maybe it's the manifestation. God, I want your presence, but don't make me fall over. I've got my kids here. They need to think I'm like the guy. They need to think I'm the mom, whatever it is. It's like we say, yes, God, but we put caveats of what it means to happen. I want to encourage you. There's something about a heart that says, God, I'm so thirsty. I'm willing and open to however you want to move. Can I encourage you? Sometimes the encounters God wants to give you will take you outside of your comfort zone. Doesn't mean they're not real. It doesn't mean he's not in them. But there's something about the maturity of having a heart that's yielded, that doesn't quench it and try to shut it off, but allows the Lord to do it. I was at a church in Melbourne a few years ago. I've noticed as well, in Melbourne, they say Melbourne. Has anyone noticed that before? The Victorian, Melbourne. I was in Melbourne a couple of years back. And we were at this conference and I just had a picture in my mind of myself and the staff team that I was with getting called out and prayed for. And I felt there'd be an impartation. Got to the end of the conference and it didn't happen. I was like, oh, I guess I got it wrong. All good. We're still learning. And then after the conference was done, we went out for donuts with some people and there was a senior pastor session that obviously, I'm, as far as I'm aware, I'm not a senior pastor. And so I wasn't invited to that one and neither was any of the team that was with me. But one of the people we were with was friends or the child of one of the senior pastors in the room. And so they're like, oh yeah, come back. We'll go hang out. And it was the end of the session. So we just walked into the back of the room and the moment we walked in through the doors, there was a couple of men of God on the stage and guest speakers and they saw us and said, yeah, you guys come here right now. And all four of us stood up right at the front. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's that moment in my vision where we're going to have that encounter with God. And in that moment, they placed hands on me. And I had heard about groaning in the Spirit, but I'd never experienced it before. Now, the Bible says in Romans 8, the Spirit intercedes with groans too deep for words. And I thought that would be interesting. I'd heard testimonies of people that can't get the words out because of the groan. And in that moment, God's presence so filled me, I fell to the floor and I was curled up like a ball. And involuntarily, this sound came out of my chest and it wasn't pretty. I would loved it to be, you know, shout to the Lord, but it wasn't. It was, And in my mind, I'm like, Matt, what are you doing? Stop it. And as I'm thinking this, my spirit is going, And I'm like, Matt, you're a guest here. You're making a scene. You stop it right now. And I remember trying to talk to someone and go to apologize. And what comes out is, I'm literally groaning and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm now that guy. I'm that guy that I didn't want to be. That's now me because this is happening in this moment. My mind is going crazy. I'm on the floor and I can feel God's presence, but my mind is still alert. Sometimes we think, oh, if it's God, every part of my body is going to be totally on board. Can I encourage you that the Bible says in Romans 8 verse 7 that the mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God? It does not submit to God's laws, nor can it do so. Sometimes we can't encounter God because we're so in our minds. We're so in the flesh. We're worried about, oh yeah, that person dancing and on the floor, they're in the flesh. You know what being in the flesh sometimes looks like? It looks like this. I'm not going today. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile. Hostile means enemy of, enmity towards God. I had a decision to make in that moment. Was I going to quench what God was doing, or was I going to allow it to happen even though it was different to what I expected? Was I going to resist it because it was uncomfortable or because my shame is now growing? Or am I going to yield to God anyway because I trust Him that He's good? I want to encourage you, sometimes when God touches you, your ego and your pride is not high on His priority list. In fact, sometimes He'll touch you in a way to make sure that thing comes low so people can learn it's not by might nor by power, it's by His Spirit. And that encounter marked me, and from that moment I saw shifts and change in our own youth ministry here. We began to grow. We went from 4 pastoral leaders to 6 pastoral leaders. We literally that year we went from 170 to about 250 average across the year. We saw double the amount of new people, double the amount of souls, and none of the strategy changed. The only thing that changed was an encounter with God. But I had a decision to make in that moment. Am I going to stifle? Am I going to restrict? Am I going to yield? Someone say yield. Turn to your neighbor, say yield. I didn't really know what yield meant. I'd heard about it in like old revival meetings, like, come on, you got to yield to God. I was like, okay, I'll do that. I'll yield. I'm yielding. This is me. This is me doing it. I don't know what it means though. Until I was in America on a holiday and I got to the end of the road. And can we pop up that yield sign? Is that okay? I saw this. It says yield. Someone say yield. And I looked at that and I thought, man, that looks awfully familiar. I've seen that one. I've seen it before. Can we go to the next slide? That's what we have in Australia. Give way signs. Crazy. It blew my mind. It means the same thing. What do you do at a yield sign in America or a give way sign in Australia? You get to the end of the road and you stop. And you look both ways and you don't get in the way. You let what's coming go through. Some of us, we've got to do this in our minds. When you come to the altar, you get to the altar, someone places hands on you, and you start to feel yourself shake. Maybe a tear comes, and it's like, what am I going to do? Am I going to stop it, or am I going to yield? Am I going to pause my mind, and even though I might not understand it, even though it might not make sense to myself, I'm going to allow the Lord to come through however He chooses, however He wishes, because it's not about me. It's not about my pride or my desire. It's about God and what He wants to do. I'm so glad on the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago, the disciples in the upper room, they didn't quench. They yielded to the Spirit. They began to speak in tongues so loudly that other people could hear them, and they began to preach the gospel. I'm so glad that in Acts chapter 10, when Peter preaches to the Gentiles, they didn't withhold it. They yielded to the Spirit, and the Spirit fell on the whole congregation. I'm so grateful for times men and women of God throughout Scripture didn't quench, but they yielded. And we're living in the fruit of their yielding. Could it be the fruit God wants to produce in your life is going to come on the other side of a yielded spirit? Point number one, a heart that's right. Number two, a point of contact. And number three, a yielded response.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.